fled. And I was taken back as I preached. And the counselors were going like this to me. Thumbs up, thumbs up. And I'm thinking, thumbs up. So I just keep preaching. And one by one, they start to come back in. Many of them carrying bags of something. And I got done with the message and appealed to the young people to surrender their lives, their hearts and lives to Jesus and not be hypocrites. And I said, is there anybody that has a testimony? And so the young people got to their feet and surrounded the type of auditorium we had and brought filthy recordings of music and laid them on the altar to God. My message wasn't even on that, but the Holy Spirit was in that. Amen. And I didn't have to pound everybody and say, oh, you bad music, bad, wicked, bad. God did that. It was the Holy Spirit. And testimonies lasted way on into the night, into the morning. I was at a Bible college. And some of us got with the administration and asked if they would allow us to start a prayer meeting one night with just in this auditorium. It would seat several hundred. They said yes, so we invited some of our friends, and we went into the auditorium, and we went to our knees, begin to pray for revival, pray that God would work. And after about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, we looked up, and the auditorium was almost completely packed out with young people on their knees, pleading with God to work. And the same thing. We opened it up. We closed it prayer. And we were going to go back to prayer. But anybody have anything to say? And the auditorium was full of young people that came up to the front wanting to ask forgiveness for the hypocrisy, forgiveness for not being a leader like they should for the Lord, asking for prayer for their families. And that went, again, that went all night. I think it was till 7 in the morning. The administration closed classes for a couple days. And everywhere you walked on campus now, you wouldn't see young guys shooting basketballs or people doing this, young people. You would see groups of young people, young athletes, young women in groups praying. That went on for a few days. God came down in a powerful way upon a college. And nobody organized that. The Holy Spirit did. I was in a church in California, a large church. I was one of the pastors. And our pastor, Dr. Blue, had a team come in. It was a revival team. They preached on obedience and clear conscience and talked about the Spirit of God, obeying the prompting of the Spirit of God. God did the same thing. Hundreds of them stood to their feet, surrounded the auditorium, and came to the front to ask forgiveness of each other, ask forgiveness of staff men. And then the revival speaker said, listen, God's prompted you. I want you to go to the staff men that you had an issue with. I was embarrassed. I had a bunch come to me asking forgiveness, and God used that in my life. You ever had the Spirit of God prompt you to talk to somebody and say, listen, stay still. Now go and talk to somebody. Go next door. Go across the street. Or make a phone call or text somebody. You ever have the Spirit of God just out of the blue prompt you to do that? Or to take something over for your neighbors to eat or call a family who's dropped out of church, just prompt you to pray for them? And now, after that, while you're praying for them, prompt you, urge you to call them. You ever have the Spirit of God do that with you? You ever have the Spirit of God prompt you to call a family member that's befriended you on Facebook years ago, but prompted you to call them? Usually when the Spirit of God prompts you to do something, it's humbling because God resists proud people and he gives his power, his grace to humble people. James 4, 6 says that. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. You ever have the Holy Spirit prompt you to talk to your boss? You know, according to Lifeway Research, about 60% of people that would identify themselves as fundamental Bible believers, 60% of them believe the Holy Spirit is a force. What's the Holy Spirit? A force. They did not understand the Holy Spirit is a person. A person that wants to have control of your life to help you live the Christian life. You study the history of great men of God and great women of God, and you listen to what they say about the Holy Spirit. One preacher, Richard Owen Roberts, said, quote, "Living one day in the Spirit is worth more than 1,000 lived in the flesh." One of the greatest writers on prayer, written dozens and dozens of books, Oswald Chambers, said this: "The biggest blessing in your life was when you came to the end of trying to be a Christian, the end of reliance on natural devotion, and you were willing to come as a pauper and receive the Spirit of God's power." He went on, he said, "The great idea is not that we are at work for God, but that He is at work in us. That He is working out a strong family likeness to His Son in us." Now, let me say this. Many, many of us are ignorant of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In fact, I'm afraid that the Holy Spirit could be taken out of many churches and they wouldn't miss Him. Many are afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit. Why? Because of the abuse of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit by charismatics, Pentecostals. One writer, Chadwick, said, "No doctrine of such as the Holy Spirit of the Christian faith has been so neglected." He said, "The blunders and disasters of the church are largely, if not entirely, accounted for by the neglect of the Holy Spirit's ministry and mission." He said, "The church is helpless without the presence and power of the Spirit." He goes on, I put this on the PowerPoint for you, "The real work of the church depends upon the power of the Spirit." He said, "Certainly the energy of the flesh can run bazaars and organize amusements and barbecues and et cetera and raise millions of dollars, but it is the presence of the Holy Spirit that makes the temple of the living God." He said, "Things will get no better until we get back to the realized presence and power of the Holy Spirit." Another, James Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor said, "I was constantly under pressure and strain and stress. My spiritual life hardly kept pace with demands upon it." You ever feel that way? "Outwardly, it may not have seemed, but I knew my own heart before the Lord." He said, "I was not frustrated by the work, in spite of all its difficulty and trial, when consciously in communion with the Lord, work seemed light. Not the shortness of funds, nor anxiety about those dearest to me. It was," he goes on, "it was just myself, the unsatisfied longing of my heart, my inward struggle to abide in Christ, my frequent failure and disappointment." Then he comes to the place where he learns what it means to walk in the Spirit, a long testimony. So what do you know about the Holy Spirit? What do you know about Him? And I would say academically, if I were to have you write a paper and say, "Here's what I know about the Holy Spirit," you could write a lot of things about the Holy Spirit. Many of you could. But I'm not asking that. What do you know personally, experientially, about the Spirit of God in your life? I want to talk to Him about it. You're in John chapter 14. Jesus was about to die. He knew He was going to the cross. He knew that He would leave His disciples behind. He knew that that would devastate them. He tries to impress on their hearts, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm leaving. I'm going to heaven, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to send a real person to empower you, walk beside you, and in you wherever you go. Look at verse 16. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That word comforter, actually the Greek word means, I'm going to send you someone that's called alongside. It's a Greek word, parakletos. It means I'm going to send you one who is your comforter, will comfort you. He will encourage you. He will exhort you. Now, backing off that text in John chapters 14 through 16, Jesus teaches his disciples four things about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The first thing he says is he will indwell you. He indwells you. It's like you recently received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Some of you have recently come to Christ, recently been saved and invited Christ into your life. Do you realize that the moment you did that, someone came to live inside of you? That's the Holy Spirit. He indwells you. Number two, and he helps you to remember the Word of God. Verse 26 talked about that. John 14, 26 says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. Number three, the Holy Spirit reproves the world, convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We'll get back to it. Number four, the Holy Spirit teaches truth. Teaches truth. It's like one of the prayers that we have is, Lord, give me an opportunity to speak truth into so-and-so's life. The Holy Spirit gives you truth. Now look at verse 17. I'm going to send you a comforter. He's going to walk with you, alongside you. Even the Spirit, capital letter, Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Those without Christ will not acknowledge or discern the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, neither do they have a personal relationship with the Spirit of God. If you don't know Christ, you don't understand, and you will not have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. He says, but you know him. He says, you guys are very much aware of his ministry in your lives. For he dwelleth with you, now watch this, and shall be, what's the next word? In you. So Jesus drew the line between the world and the Christian, the believer. The world has no relationship with the Holy Spirit, and the born-again believer has a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, as you read through the Old Testament, it doesn't take long to see that the Holy Spirit has been active throughout the history of the world. I mean, you think about this. God's Word commands you and me, you and I, to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. I'm commanded. Ephesians 5:18, it says, be not drunk with wine. Don't be under the control of alcoholic beverage, wherein is excess, but be filled, be under control. Filled up is the word, under the control of, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Again, Galatians 5:16, God tells us to walk in the Spirit. That word walk in the Greek language is to be walk all around. Every aspect of your life as you walk, as you live your life, make it in the realm of the Holy Spirit. And he says, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. One writer, Ryrie, one of our professors where I went to seminary, said this. He said, take each step of the Christian life in dependence of the Spirit to have victory over the flesh and its works. The sinful nature is received at birth. So when you're born, you have a sinful nature. And it's never eradicated in this life. You'll never get rid of the sinful nature. But it can be controlled by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit. You know, it's been an awesome challenge in my spiritual life to read what great servants of God said about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives and ministry. You ever heard of D.L. Moody? a great saint of God, great man of faith, books written on him. Here's what he says, quote, God commands us to be filled with the Spirit, and if we are not filled, look at it in front of you, it's because we're living beneath our privileges. Again, Oswald Chambers says, it's an extraordinary how things fall off from a man like autumn leaves once he comes to the place where there's no rule but that of the personal domination of the Holy Spirit. And you read the life of Oswald Chambers, you see how he came to a place of being under the control of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read some excerpts from a book called They Found the Secret. And listen, he tells that Oswald Chambers was in Bible college. And he began to sense a deep need to know the living God in his life. I was that way in Bible college. I knew I was a Christian, but something was missing. I wanted all of it. I wanted all that Christ had, and I paid a sacrifice. Oswald Chambers says he was not content to be saved and on his way to heaven. He desired from the very depth of his soul to walk with God. He desired to see God answer his prayers, don't you? His desire was that God would anoint him with a mighty and powerful way for service. And in his diary, he wrote these words. He said, the Holy Spirit must anoint me for the work, must fire me up, so vividly convince me that such and such a way is mine to aim at, or I shall not go. I will not. I dare not. I shall just be content to earn my living, but no, that cannot be. From my very childhood, the persuasion has been that of work, strange and great, an experience deep and peculiar. It's haunted me ever and ever. He talks about going to college, being filled with the Spirit, God. I'm not talking about a Pentecostal, kind of thing. This can be a daily walking in the Spirit. But he said, God used me to win some people to Christ. But I didn't have a conscious communion with God. And here's what he said. This is so interesting to me. He said the Bible was the dullest, most uninteresting book in existence. And a sense of depravity, the vileness and bad motiveness of my nature was terrific. He said, I see now that God was taking me by the light of the Holy Spirit and His Word through every ramification of my being. He said, the last 3 months of those years reached a climax. I was getting desperate. I knew no one who had what I wanted. And I looked around into college. I had a bunch of buddies that I ran with. These guys on the wrestling team. Good guys. But didn't have that longing for the Spirit-filled life. He says, I knew that if what I had was all the Christianity there was, the thing was a fraud. Then Luke 11, verse 13 got hold of me. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And he explains how he came to the realization that he realized he had the Holy Spirit in his life, but the Holy Spirit didn't have him. And he claimed the Spirit of God in his life, and God just opened it up. God began to bless and give him much fruit. So who is this Holy Spirit? I want us to go back to ground zero. My father-in-law is watching from California, working with him on his iPhone, of how to get on texting and how to get on YouTube and how to communicate. And I kept saying that button on the bottom is what I would call ground zero. When in doubt, go back to ground zero. Push that button, it gives you the first page. Well, I want to go back to ground zero right now, and I want to see what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Keep your finger in John 14, but turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is a person. Did you know the Holy Spirit has an intellect? He knows and he searches the things of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You just can't fathom what God has for you. But God hath revealed them unto us by what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Look at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. The thought is, if you want to know God, you got to learn to walk under the control of the Spirit, because the Spirit knows everything there is about God. So he has an intellect. Then he has emotions and feelings. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And you can turn to some of these verses. I'm going to give them right away. Well, it may not give you time unless you're right there. First, Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. What does that mean to grieve? Don't make him sad. You know, the most miserable person here today is not a lost person, a person without Christ. You know who the most miserable person here is today? A Christian who has grieved the Holy Spirit. A Christian that's not walking with God. And you are the most miserable person here today. That's why Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Did you know that the Holy Spirit has a will? He has a will. 1 Corinthians 12:11. He gives spiritual gifts as he will. Now, let me just go on, and we could look up every verse, but for lack of time, let me just give these to you. Did you know in Scripture it says the Holy Spirit teaches? He testifies. We'll look at some of these verses. Did you know the Holy Spirit guides us? Did you know the Holy Spirit convicts? Did you know the Holy Spirit restrains? By the way, back to convicts. That's why, parents, you have a young man or a young lady in your house. This just has no desire for God, no conviction. They prayed a poly prayer when they were little. But now you're relying on that little prayer they prayed. And that young man or young lady is getting older and they have no desire for the things of God. No conviction from God. They're not saved. Because the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in them. The Spirit of God convicts them of sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit has a will. He sends, he teaches, he testifies, guides, convicts. Did you know the Holy Spirit restrains? He commands. He directs people. No, don't go that way, go this way. No, Craig Scott, shut your mouth for a minute. Let me speak. Go to this passage. Pray this. Did you know the Spirit of God performs miracles? Did you know the Spirit of God calls people to service? This morning in Sunday school, we were looking at a minor prophet named Amos. He was a farmer of figs. And God called him to do something, to preach something. He wasn't looking for that. God called him to that and he obeyed. I think of Gideon. Beside the threshing floor. And Jesus, it says the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus in the flesh, came and said, thou mighty man of valor. Remember what Gideon said? Oh, my Lord. Me? I'm a runt of the runt family of Israel, the runt nation of Israel, the runt tribe of Israel. Why are you choosing me? I'm calling you. So the Spirit of God calls people to service. Do you know the Spirit of God will send people to areas of service? Acts 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, here it is, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Interesting. I talked to Tom and Barb Needham. They were with us last weekend here at Woodside. And, you know, Tom went to Africa as an unsaved man working for the government to help the people in Cameroon set up their agriculture. And came under the preaching of someone else and received Christ. And then God said, Tom, I'm not content with that. I want you to go back, get trained. I want you to come back and try to reach the Cameroonian people for Christ. And God has used him to start churches, hundreds of churches in Cameroon, Africa. The Spirit of God called him to a certain place. Now, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8 for a minute. Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans 8, verse 26. We see that the Holy Spirit intercedes. That is so interesting to me. I don't think a day goes by in my life where I don't think of this. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That means the Holy Spirit joins in to help in areas where we're weak. It's like bragging on Sue Hawes just a few minutes ago. Her nickname here was Buttercup. Now her nickname is Warrior. Terry was talking to me about Sue Hawes. She had people, they were on the street with signs pleading for the babies, the unborn babies, and on the street. And someone, I guess, got in Sue Hawes' face and was screaming and yelling at her. And she didn't react in the flesh. And Terry said it only made her stronger. You know, the Holy Spirit helped her in that infirmity. And then it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Watch this. Verse 26. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. You know what that means? I don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit will plead my case and he will act as a mediator. And here's how he does it. With groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit puts our desires into words which are not in our power to say. It's like, oh, Lord, oh, I am so brokenhearted. Oh, God, oh, God. And the Holy Spirit now is saying, here's what he's saying to you, Lord. I'm interceding and I am interpreting those groans. Oh, God, I just can't. He interprets that. Or, Lord, I don't know what to say. I've just come into a real crisis in my life. God, I want your will. The Holy Spirit begins to kick in your prayer. Or it's like I pray, God, help Don Johnson today to be free from pain and comfort him. And the Holy Spirit says, saying, you know, Craig Scott really means to say, Don Johnson's in heaven with me. And right now I'm introducing to a lady by the name of Shirley Scott, your mother. And he's at my feet. Don's at my feet, the feet of Jesus. So I'm praying for Don Johnson's to get better. Holy Spirit is mediating, interceding my prayer. Isn't that a wonderful thing? When we're Spirit-led in our prayer, God interprets that. The Holy Spirit. It's like, Lord, bless Cecil. Lord, bless Roy this week. Lord, bless Josh or Wes. Or God, bless Cecil. And the Holy Spirit said, yes, yes, let me interpret that. Let me interpret that. Deal with Cecil's bitterness. Deal with his unwillingness to confess sin and to repent and be transparent. And I'm just saying, God bless him. Holy Spirit is interpreting that prayer. Let me go on. The Holy Spirit must be obeyed. Acts chapter 10. Did you know that it's possible to lie to the Holy Spirit? You just asked Ananias, Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Spirit. We're buried in the church parking lot there in the book of Acts. Of course, I'm interpreting a little bit different there. Do you know Holy Spirit can be resisted? You ever resist the Holy Spirit? Again, I think the most miserable Christian is the person who's resisting the Holy Spirit working in his life. No, I won't do that. Do you know God wants you to do? Yes. Do you know that God says that's wrong? Yes. Then why are you doing it? I don't want to. I'm just going to do what I want. Stay out of my face. You're a legalist. The Holy Spirit says he's resisting me. You know, the Holy Spirit makes it so we know we cannot operate without Him. Psalm 51:11. Did you know it's possible to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Matthew 12:31. But not in this generation. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit, God says you can't ever be saved. Well, that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit when you looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, you are demon-possessed. Well, He physically is not here. But it does talk about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Hey, did you know the Holy Spirit can be outraged? Acts 10:29. So the Holy Spirit is a real person. Number two, the Holy Spirit is God. He's God. Let me explain. He's omniscient. He knows everything. 1 Corinthians 2, we just read it, 11 and 12. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, meaning He's everywhere present? Psalm 139, verse 17. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is all-powerful, omnipotent? Zechariah 4, verse 6. Did you know the Holy Spirit is truth? 1 John 5, 6 says, it's the Spirit that beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. Hey, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. This is so amazing. 1 John chapter 5. He's part of the Trinity. When I say Trinity, here's what I mean. Within the nature of the one God, there are three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These three are called God, and there's only one God. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is God. He's part of the Trinity. Look at 1 John 5, 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. 1 John 5, 7. Let me go on. The Holy Spirit gives life. Gives life. Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit gives you freedom and life. You know the most free person here today is a person that's walking in the Spirit. You want freedom? Yield to the Spirit of God. Because He's the one that gives life. We could talk about how He creates. He was involved in creation. He inspires. He begat Christ. Now, last of all, what's His purpose? Why is He in us? And this is where I will purposely repeat some of the verses. I want you to try, if you have a device, you can switch to these verses. I'm going to be mainly in John here. Or if your verse, your Bible, you can switch between John 14, 15, and 16. So, first of all, the Holy Spirit reminds. We talked about that. He brings to remembrance the Word of God. John 14, 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said in Him. Now, the primary interpretation of that passage, He's talking to the disciples or the apostles and saying the Holy Spirit's going to inspire you to give the Word of God, to write the Word of God. All right? Now, generally, the application is God's Spirit delights in bringing to remembrance the passages of Scripture we've learned. You know, have you ever been in a situation where somebody's asking for help or counseling and you're thinking, oh, God, I don't know, like the disciples, where God said, I will tell you what to say in the very hour that you stand before the king or whoever, your accusers. Don't worry about it. I'll give you what to say. Where you've said, oh, Lord, I don't know what to say. And right before you're given that opportunity or right during that opportunity, you start the conversation, boom, Spirit of God brings that passage to you. You're thinking, wow, where did I get that? What's something you memorized as a child? It's the Word of God that you read maybe in your time in the Word 2 weeks ago. And God, the Spirit of God, brought it to your remembrance. I believe, you know what I believe biblical counseling is? is talking with somebody until listening to somebody talk until God gives you a scripture. And you share the word of God. Till the Holy Spirit gives you a passage of scripture. And you share truth. So again, the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance the word of God. And then he testifies of Christ. This is why the Holy Spirit is in you. Turn to John 15, one page away. Look at verse 26. We have John 14, 26. Now, John 15, verse 26. When the Comforter's come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, watch this, he shall testify of me. That word testify in the Greek language means he will bear witness of Christ. He will point to Christ in your conversations. He will point to Christ as you live out your Christian life. That's why when you're in the lines, of course, 6 foot distancing, of course. Hey, let me get sidetracked. We were on a plane to and from California this week. Packed. I was on the aisle. One flight's chair was on the window. Someone in between us. And every row back and forth was packed. And, you know, the rule is, you can take your mask off if you're eating something. So I had some bags of peanuts and stuff. And so I ate the whole way. I had my mask off and drinking Pepsi. And anyway, why am I saying this? Well, you're back. Oh, here it is. And on the way back, right before we deplane, comes over the loudspeaker. Now, remember the social distance. I'm thinking, what? Anyway, let me get back to my sermon. You know, when you're talking with people, the Holy Spirit, you're in line somewhere. All of a sudden, Holy Spirit says, tell them about Jesus. Give them a gospel track. That's what the Spirit of God does. As we are yielded to the Spirit of God prompts us, urges us, tells us, testify of Christ. You know, when we're singing here, we're testifying of Christ. When we're with each other, we're bringing people to relationship with Christ. When we're walking, when our neighborhood, whatever we're doing, God wants us to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Spirit of God. Next, he glorifies Christ. Turn back to John 16. Look at verse 14. John 16, verse 14. He, talking about the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That word glorify, talking about the Holy Spirit, means he will magnify me. This is Jesus speaking. The Spirit of God, who's going to come and dwell with you and in you, he is going to magnify me, Jesus. He will esteem me. He will demonstrate honor toward me. He will give you a desire to always make me, Jesus, look good. So here's the thought. As I yield to the leadership of the Spirit of God in my life, I will desire to be a good commercial for Christ. One Bible encyclopedia says this, the sphere of the Spirit's activity is the heart of the individual believer and of the church, the heart. In your heart, you desire to bring glory to Christ. Nobody has to come and pound that into you. Nobody has to force you to do that. That's why I come to the place where I don't want to nag men to come to the men's prayer. I don't want to call, especially staff, whoever. I don't want to say, or deacons, hey, listen, one of the requirements I have for you is to be in men's prayer. Why? I want the Holy Spirit to direct them there. Amen. I am concerned if there's someone in leadership of our church who will not pray. It's always too busy. I am concerned about that. So it says the sphere of the Spirit's activity is the heart. It's in the heart. It says his chief function, the Spirit of God, is to illumine, turn the light on, the teaching, and glorify the person of Christ. Number for he convicts. John 16, verse 7 through 11. Now, we're going to talk about that here in a minute. So what does this look like in my life? And I'm going to purposely repeat some of these verses. So here's what it looks like. First of all, he brings Scripture to your mind. Remember that. Get in the Word. Get in the Word of God. Memorize the Word. Meditate on the Word. Why? God will use it someday. God will bring it to your remembrance. Second of all, the Spirit of God will give you an internal desire to speak about Christ. Nobody has to force that in on you. That's in you. Submit to the Spirit of God. He shall testify of me. Next of all, you become internally motivated to live and speak in such a way that make Jesus look good when you're walking in the Spirit. John 16, 14, he shall glorify me. Last of all, he convicts your heart about the issues of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Turn to John 16, look at verse 8. When he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will reprove, that's the word which means convict, the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. He's going to convict this world. United States, England, China, Japan, India. He will convict this world of its sin and of God's righteousness. So now we must pray that God does that. And it says he reproves and convicts the world of judgment. You know what that means? He's going to convict you, me, this church, this city, this world, of its disobedience to God's will. Its disobedience to the Word of God. And the Spirit of God will impress on us that we are accountable to a holy God. He convicts the world of judgment. So let me ask you this. Is it biblical to pray that God would bring conviction to America? Yes or no? Yeah, that's what we just read. So what? Here it is. So what? So what will I do about what I just heard? Will I allow the Holy Spirit to take charge of my life? Will you? Craig Scott, will you? I want to say, Spirit of God, I'm all in. As unworthy as I am, as a man of flesh as I am, I'm in. Will I purpose to obey his promptings? Oh, I hope so. Nothing I love more than something to happen. I said, man, that was the Spirit of God. Oh, look what God did. I had nothing to do with it. God did that, and he used me. Will I purpose to obey his promptings? And I want to ask this. What is there in my life that manifests the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit? What is there in my life that will manifest that God is powerful and supernaturally working in my life? When people see me, do they see God working? That's the Spirit of God. Do they see the Holy Spirit working in my life? A.W. Tozer said this, if the Spirit takes charge of your life, he will expect unquestioning obedience in everything. Are you with me? He goes on, he may strip you of many of those borderline pleasures which other Christians enjoy, but which are to you a source of refined evil. Wow. Now, let me leave you with a thought. This is not in your notes. This is what we're going to look at next week. Do you know when you came to Christ, when you received Christ, the Spirit of God drew you? The Spirit of God draws people to Christ. John 6, 44. No man can come to me, Jesus is saying, no man can have a relationship with me except the Father which has sent me draw him. It means draw by that inward influence. It means to lead, to impel you, to compel you, to activate you. And I will raise him up at the last day. And I think that's talking about the rapture. Now, John 12, 32, and I'll leave you with this thought. This is really dominating my thought right now. Jesus said, and I, If I be lifted up from the earth, and I think that's a reference to the cross. And it's also a reference if we exalt him, Jesus. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. You think about that. How does he do that? The Holy Spirit. He's saying, I'm going to put pressure on a man's soul concerning his standing before a holy God. I will draw all men unto me. Now, there's ramifications there. What about people in Africa? What about people in China? What about people around the world? Never heard. Jesus said he's drawing them to him. And I'm thinking they're looking for missionaries. But we'll go there. I'm just saying the Spirit of God draws all men. While you're listening to me, either online or here, let me ask you something. Do you sense God doing that in you? Do you sense the Spirit of God drawing you to Christ? Do you sense the Spirit of God drawing you to surrender your life to His leading? Do you sense the Spirit of God drawing you to surrender your life, to live a Word-filled, Spirit-filled life, to yield to the Spirit in every area of your life? Let's pray. Father, I am so grateful for the way you drew me. Thank you. I'm so grateful for the way that you bring to remembrance your word in my life. I'm so grateful for the times in my life where you've let me see you work in crowds and auditoriums and camps, churches. Do that here. May there be a fresh, renewed obedience, Holy Spirit, to you. You're working. Come down in a special sense to our lives. Oh God, help us to desire to glorify you.